Glad to see everyone come out tonight. We're going to come out today on a beautiful Lord's Day. Today I want to talk about depression. Just the other day, one of my girls was asking me, what was depression? And got me to thinking. Got me thinking a little bit about how do they deal with depression in the body? And wanted to just go through some of the ways that we deal with depression, that they dealt with depression. Many years ago, a young Midwestern lawyer suffered from such a deep depression that his friends thought it best to keep all the knives and razors out of his reach. He questioned life calling and the wisdom of even attempting to follow it through. During this time, he wrote, I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. This lawyer was Abraham Lincoln, who became the 16th president. Depression can hit anyone, both presidents and just regular, ordinary people. Well, half Americans, depression hits anyone. No job is without some kind of depression, even retirement and perhaps especially retirement. Half of Americans in recent polls say they or their family members have suffered from depression. 40% consider it a health problem. Some symptoms of depression is persistent sadness, anxiety moods, anger, restlessness, irritable, sleepiness, not enough sleep, reduced appetite, weight loss, increased appetite, weight gain. I mean, it goes on and on. It's just different things and symptoms of it. Then the causes, the coming result of depression is death, serious illness of a friend or family, loss of love or attention from friends, and just cause problems in families, much you isolate yourself from family, just different little things. And I'm pretty sure if I was to read everything here today, I mean every part, every symptom and every cause of depression, we all can probably look at some parts and pick out about five things of that and say, hey, I deal with that every day. I mean, so in some form or fashion, most of us deal with some type of depression. Once the teacher said to our students, boys and girls, there's a wonderful example in this life of the ant. Every day the ant goes out to work, goes to work and work all day. Every day this ant is busy. And at the end of the day, what happens? And there was a little boy in the classroom that said, then someone steps on it. And most of us feel like that. We go out and we work and it just seems like no matter what we do, there's always somebody there to knock us down or try to knock us down. And sometimes that takes a toll on us, especially when things ain't going right in your life. You kind of get into a little depressing mood. And we'll talk about the people in the Bible that there was some just constant nagging that probably could have put them in a moment of depression. Moses was depressed, was a depressed leader of the people of Israel. Every time he turned around, they griped about something. We need water. We're starving. We want food. I mean, he just constantly kept nagging him about something. If you were surrounded by a bunch of chronic complaining, it would be hard not to be depressed. Job was depressed. He lost everything. Being cursed the day he was born. Job 3:11 and 3:26. Job said, Why die I not from the womb? Why did I give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why was not in safety? Neither had I rest. Neither had I quiet. Yet trouble come. And David was depressed. In Psalms 6:2-6. Have no mercy. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. I am weak. O Lord, heal me. My bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou art Lord, how long? I am weary with my groaning. All the night makes I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. The Apostle Paul was depressed. 2 Corinthians 12. We are told that Paul was given a thorn in the flesh to perhaps keep him humble. But Paul did not like that thorn. No one likes thorns sticking in their side or in their spirits. Paul said it was a message from Satan to torment him. We do know that God permits Satan to afflict Paul. Just as he permits Satan to afflict Job, Satan cannot work against a believer without the permission of God. Isn't that a comfort thought, though? Satan is harnessed, and God will pull back the reins whenever he sees that Satan is trying to get carried away. Almost everyone deals with depression in some form or another. Depression, however, is not the end of the story. God's people do not have to live in the darkness world of depression. God does hear our cries and answers. In Psalms 41:2, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cries. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. And in Job 42:12, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And God comforted Paul and cared for him, as we see in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in the weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity than the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's promise to Paul was, my grace is sufficient. My grace is strengthful. God was going to bless Paul with whatever he needed to both endure and live the Christian life. God's promise was a sure thing for Paul and for us as well. We must believe, we must trust, and we must ask. Depression in any form is not dandy, but it's God's help. Blessing and grace, it can be handled and overcome. One thing most people associate with depression is complaining. There's a story about a man was in a diner and said to the waitress, said, do you serve breakfast here? And the waitress said, sure we do. He said, let me get some watery scrambled eggs, some burnt toast, and some weak coffee. And the waitress said, well, whatever you say, man. And he said, now, what are you doing while they're preparing my order back there? She said, not much. He said, can you sit here and nag me and complain to me? Because I'm feeling a little homesick. Now, I find it hard to believe that a lot of us would want to sit and hear somebody nagging and complaining to us. But that's what some people hear a lot of at home. People more than we realize, and it's everywhere, the workplace, the mall, anywhere you go, and even in church, they had to say. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring or dispute. We're commanded by God to stop complaining about everything. Griping and complaining almost makes things bitter, not better. Even though most people think it is their God-given right to complain, people should realize that griping and complaining is not pleasing to God. God was not impressed when the people of Israel complained. In 1 Corinthians 10:1-5, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And we all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But when many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. In 1 Corinthians 10:10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured, and when were destroyed of the destroyer. That doesn't sound very good, and it wasn't. God is not pleased when we gripe and complain, especially when we have it so good. Besides, some say, whenever you are tempted to tell your troubles to another person, remember, half of your listeners aren't interested in what you say anyway, and the other ones are glad that you're finally getting what's coming to you when you're complaining to them anyway. So they're not really there just for your benefit. They either sitting there saying, oh, I don't want to hear this, or they sitting there like, yeah, you're finally getting what you deserve now. So you can also think of it that way. If I'm getting ready to complain to somebody, if I think about it, they probably don't want to listen to what I'm saying, or they probably said, I'm getting what I deserve, so maybe just won't complain to them. But instead of complaining about what we don't have or what we don't like in our lives, we should take a look at what we do have and thank God for it. I'm going to tell you this story about me and my brother. Everybody's probably saying I got a 2004 Malibu. I bought it in 2005. It had about 15,000 miles on it. Right now, it got about 100,000 miles on it. My brother just bought him a new Ford Explorer 2012. I think it was 2011, I think. Got a Ford Explorer, and I rode in with him. He got all the little bells and whistles. He could talk on his phone without having to pick it up. He just come through his speaker automatically, and he just got all these nice little things. Got a little camera when he backs up, so he won't back up in anything. And he tell me, he say, you know, you should get a new car. And I thought, my car right now, my horn just sometimes it just humps on its own. Whenever I'm just riding out, it just does. I can't let my back window down from the back side. If I do, it'll kill the power in the whole car. Don't too much know this, but y'all know now. But it just, there's a couple little things in there that he just, like, you know, you should just go and get rid of it. And I thought, I was like, yeah, I would like to have a new car. But then I also thought about the car I had before that car, which was a Chrysler Concorde in 1996. And it had 255,000 miles on it. They had back tires on it. I had to get replaced every month because it was bowled out like that. So it would just wear the tires out. My back seat, I had bricks behind it because in order to keep the seat up, being the front seat, in order for me to drive, I had to put bricks behind it to keep it up. So, you know, I thought, I was not like, you know what? I'm thankful I got that 2004 Malibu right now, but I could still be riding that 96 Concorde right now. So if you put a different spin on things, and you can see that, you know, I could have sat there and been depressed, like, my brother got this nice car, and my car does all this, but, you know, the car I got now is nicer than the car I had before, so I should be thankful for that, because it could be worse. So you see how the difference, do it different with your mindset. If you think about it in a different way, it'll put you in a different light. It's just another way of looking at it. And it's obvious that what we must do with everything in our life, we must shift our negative thinking and dwell on the good and the positive. Always focusing on the positive. It will help to overcome depression in life. And next, we need to stay in tune with God. People have different views about God. Some people actually claim to have no belief at all. They believe that there's no God. Why do people think this way? Some people are just blind to the fact. A man complained to his friend one time that the world seemed drained of all its sweetness. His friend replied, "I don't know what you mean. Are there not roses and violets still on earth? And does not the sun and the moon still reign in the heavens? The beauty of God's creation is all around us, and it shouts out loudly and clearly. God is the creator of all beauty." Some people think of God as some sort of judge in the sky, just waiting to send people to hell. Yeah, some people who say, "I don't like courtrooms. I don't like judges, particularly like Judge Judy and Judge Brown. They appear mean, unfriendly, strict, demanding, and all these different things. And I don't think God is like this at all." Some people try to think God is kind of like the judges you see on TV, how they're in there talking to people and things like that, and that's not how he is at all. God is a long-suffering. He suffers long with mankind. He is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to be saved. Still, other things God think God of some kind of wimp or pushover. They think God is being so easy that he will let anything go. But that's wrong. God destroyed the world with the flood long ago to prove there's a point to his patience. There's a point to where he allowed his patience to go. Other things God as being a helpless old man in the sky. Many think of God as the old man upstairs. He's very old, so he's very weak, helpless, can't take care of us or himself. Much less anybody or himself. That's wrong too. Throughout history, God has displayed that he is not weak. He has displayed his mighty, powerful, and will again come. And finally, there are those who believe that God is our loving Heavenly Father. We read in Matthew 7:11, "If ye being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, you much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to him that ask of him." One thing that helps me very much when I get down is in faith. I know I have a Father who loves me unconditionally. He doesn't condone my failures, but he also won't condemn me because I am in Christ. I know that he knows all about me and loves me anyway. And he understands. He sympathizes with me fully. He sympathizes with me when I'm hurting, full of pain, crying. He sympathizes with me when no one else does. I find comfort, release, and relief in his tenderness. In his tender arms of mercy. He can do things for us that no one else can. He can help us in our down times. He can help us in our times of depression. But how do we get connected with him? We connect with our Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. And in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We connect with God through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender to Him. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe that He died on that cross to save you from sin? Then surrender to Him. Believe, obey, be baptized into Him. Walk with Him. Read His Word. Allow His Spirit to work in you. And the more you do these things, the more the Spirit will be lifted from the mirror of depression. And we must also separate ourselves. One day a little boy was balancing on his head, and an old lady came by. She said, it's too young to be like balancing on your head. She said, if you're only 6 years old. And the kid said, no, it's all right. When I'm upside down, I'm 9 years old. So he tried to put a little spin to it. There are always going to be people that try to tell you you can't do something, or you won't amount to a hill of beans, or just be real negative to you. And there will always be someone who's quick to put you down or take you down with their negativity. It has been said that as much as 77% of everything we think is negative and counterproductive and works against us. People who grow up in the average household here are told that they won't or can't do something 148 times by the time they reach the age of 18, resulting in unintentional negative programming. In Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And I know I have a lot of stories, but I have another story that I came across when I was reading about this person. It was this lady still a bride. She's been married for a few months or whatever, and her neighbor seen her sawing this ham, sawing the end of this ham off. She just kept sawing it. And she just asked, why did you saw the ham off? She said, because my mama did. She said, okay. So a couple of days later, she ran into her mother. She said, now, I've seen your daughter. Why did you and your daughter saw that ham off on the end of that ham? She said, because my mama did it. So she visited, had her call her mother and asked her why she did it. She said, why did you saw the end of that ham off, you know, just like that? And she said, I only did it because I didn't have a pan big enough to fit the ham. And see how, just by how a parent can influence their child just by watching. She never told them why she did it. They just seen her do it every time, so they just thought that's what you do. See how we can influence our kids just by things that we don't even notice they looking at us doing. So, that's just another little way of looking at how we influence our home. In Proverbs 12:26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. Negative people are not going to be with you. I'm not going to be with you. I realize that you can't. Okay, Proverbs 14:7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Bad company, bad association corrupts us in many ways, and not just morally. The people we run with can either pick us up or put us down or drag us down. Negative people are not good to be with. And I realize that you can get away from all the negative people, but I know you can't get away from all the negative people, but if it's a matter of choice, then choose to stay away from them. Separate yourself from those who can bring you down. Choose your friends carefully. And I have another story about this doctor from England. He came over to the United States and he went out fishing for some trout. He had all the right fishing tools and he had everything. He had excellent stuff to be able to catch trout. But he sat out there all day, he couldn't catch anything. Couldn't catch nothing at all. And there was an old fisherman over there who had just a whole boatload of trout. And he was just asking, saying, how was you so successful in catching all these trout? And he told him, he said, there's three rules the following when trout fishing. He said the first rule is keep yourself out of sight. The second rule, keep yourself further out of sight. And the third rule is to keep yourself still further out of sight. The preacher walked away musing upon this thought, that this is the best advice I can ever hear in becoming a successful fisher of men. I just must keep myself out of sight and put Jesus in full view. If you take it off of you and put it on Jesus, that will help you with your, if you think about it and you say, don't think about all the bad that I'm going through. Think about what God has done for me. And put it on Him and focus on Him, and it'll help you with your depression. And if you connect with God through believing and just believe that, you know, He is the Son of God, we surrender to Him, believe, obey, and be baptized in Him, and walk with Him, and read His Word, and allow His Spirit to work with us. And this will help us with the depression. If there's anyone who needs the prayers of the church or subject to the call, come as we sing the song that was selected.